are listening to The Unlabel It Effect. We gather here on the first day of each month to explore all things mental health. Let us be part of your support system to inspire and motivate you to take care of your well-being. We, Vivian, Rita, and myself, Melody, welcome you to our UE community.
It is our pleasure to have Gary Moody with us on The Unlabeling Effect today. Gary is an anthropology PhD candidate researching Western spirit mediums, healers, spirit art, and sound healing. Gary left a successful, well-paid corporate job during the pandemic to take up his PhD research here in Australia. Outside of his role of being a researcher, he also works in a hospital mental health unit providing sound healing sessions. As a traditional scientist, I find myself having a hard time wrapping my head around spirituality. Gary is the first person who explained this to me in the most inclusive and welcoming way. He encourages both spiritual and science-minded people to be most respectful of others' view and be open-minded to the idea that we don't actually know the true nature of our existence. So, with an open and curious mind, let's get started. I cannot wait to have this conversation. Thank you so much to be here with us, Gary.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I'm your host today, Rita, and with me here are Gary, Vivian, and Melody. Welcome you all.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
I remember I actually met Gary when I first arrived in Australia, and I attended this conference where, Gary, you demonstrated monochord at that time. Is that monochord?
Yeah, the instrument's called a monochord. So it's a meditative stringed instrument that kind of helps people get into deeper states of relaxation.
I first came to Australia, started my study. I was just in the audience space and looking at Gary doing the monochord. And the sound of monochord was so attractive. It just got all of your attention and make you really present in the room. And I really love that. That happened last year. And this year, Gary did a sound healing with us again, but this time it was more intimate. So Gary was in the room with us and he put the monochord on my body and I could feel the vibration of the instrument. And it was amazing. I love that.
But it's not so easy for traveling.
Yeah, 100% not. It was amazing. The vibration of it and the sound of it was like deeply healing and relaxing. I love the sound of it.
So that's a very spacious sound. So what it does is it overlaps the same notes, and that creates what's called overtone. So there's all a technical science basis behind it. And in those overlapping notes, you hear these high frequencies. So these kind of beautiful melodies come into it. And I always have a spiritual aspect to it. So sometimes people hear like flutes or voices. They just have these really weird, unusual experiences.
I'm also like a big believer of like frequencies, and it's not words. It's not something that you can see, but you can just feel there's a change in your body when you're exposed to different frequencies. I always wonder, like, is there a reason or a rationale behind it?
I guess frequencies, it's got an energy, like it actually touches the body, and there's vibration. And particularly when you have emotions in the body, and sometimes the emotions get trapped in the body in certain aspects, I think the vibrations and the frequency kind of loosen it up. Spiritual contacts like mediums, they talk about how the spirit world will use the vibrations and the sound, and they'll kind of inject the spirit energy behind that to help people.
Except doing the monochord demonstration, you are also spirit painter. You kindly offering to do a spirit painting for me, and I really like that. I think I need to show you all. I actually hung that up.
Ooh.
That is before knowing me as a person, because we briefly had encounter before all this conversation started. He could actually see a lot of traits in me. I actually got inspired by his question. He said that you are a very structured person and you don't really trust your gut feeling much, and you don't enjoy life by following your intuition. And he stimulated me to think,
why are you that disciplined? Why do you have to have control and structure in life in every step? And you're not going to live life the fullest if you do that. And that made me wonder, what did it means to me to live? Can you tell me more about this spiritual painting aspect of your work?
So it's a cultural practice that comes from spiritualists. So they're the spirit mediums that come from the UK and the US. So they kind of learn to communicate with spirits. So how it works is with Rita, I kind of just get into that altered state where I calm myself and kind of connect to my senses. And then I kind of project my energy to Rita's energy, but also ask for inspiration to come from the spirit world. And sometimes I get visions in my mind, or I hear words or sensations or emotions. And Rita's was a bit different. It's more of a textual sense. I just had to pick up the pastel and started making marks, and I had no idea what was coming out. And then I realized there was a bit of a forest, needed to make more marks further down, and that turned into a pumpkin and a carriage. And there's all symbology about Cinderella and what that represents. It's about trying to show her a different aspect of herself, a more joyous self, some of the challenges she might have in life, the things she doesn't see that might be holding her back, but also creating just a beautiful landscape that she can kind of, as Vivian said, kind of melt into, melt away, and that really inspires her.
Gary, what is it like to, what is the spiritual world like? Because you're a very visual person, I suppose. And, you know, what does it mean by connecting yourself or putting yourself in that space?
Good questions. Stepping back a bit. So spiritualists believe that when we die, we all have a soul, and our soul goes back to the spirit world, and that's the real world. So we're only here in a physical body, which is a temporary body. They kind of see the spirits as a higher vibration. So when we get into an altered state, calm our mind, we can tune into them. But it's not like talking to them like we're talking. The spirits kind of share imagery. Like for me, I'm more visual. Others just feel emotions. Some people hear words. So it's quite different, but it's quite relaxing. I start to feel very different, particularly if there's what I perceive as the spirit coming forward. Sometimes I feel my personality changing. If I'm tapping into someone, I can feel their emotions as well. Sometimes lots of joy coming over. Sometimes if people have some mental health challenges, you might feel that. It takes a lot of training to get used to it because it can seem a bit confronting at times, but just kind of allowing your body to become a tapestry to see, hear, feel things. It's a challenge to try to interpret it.
Is there ever like any confusion between what you see versus what it's trying to tell you, or is it just all kind of up to your own feelings, your own interpretations? Like, how does it work?
So both, definitely confusion, because I think with Rita, they showed me like I was getting this pumpkin, and it could be the case that Rita really loves pumpkins, but I don't think that was the case. It was a more symbolic meaning. So I needed to decipher it. So it's a lot of learning your own kind of multi-sensory language, what things mean to you. The real power of this comes with trying to access your own inner landscape, because you can do this not just with spirits, but with yourself, trying to work through like identifying what your key talents and passions are.
Because you have to go through all the trainings, right? You have to be passionate about such a abstract concept or arena. I would say you were working in kind of a conventional corporate job before pandemic, and what brought you to this path to pursue something that you have to train all over again, something that's abstract, something that's uncertain to you?
So you're right, it can be very confusing because they're very different paths. And in Western society, we really prioritize that kind of analytical, logical, neoliberalist, busy, 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 work, work, work. Spiritual side is a lot more intuitive and sensory and feminine in some way. I kind of think there's a beauty when you marry the two together. And I think this is what I was talking about with you, Rita. How do you take that structure and marry it with the more intuitive and creative? But my granddad was a healer, and I never really believed in it when I was young. I was open to it, and he was also like an accountant and a radio engineer, and he turned to this very alternative path later in life. And he said to me when I was young, he said, you'll do this too one day, like later in life, like mid-age. And I didn't really pay any attention, and I had chronic fatigue for many years, and there's emotional mental health challenges with that. And I think that really started a searching path. Getting an astrology reading was one of the first things. It's something like I'd never thought I would do. I wasn't into that woo-woo stuff, but I found it quite helpful. And as an analytical person, what she said made sense. And I was at a friend's place once and her sister was there. And the sister said she could see spirits. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I was always a bit open-minded. So I said, are there any spirits around me? He said, oh yeah, your grandma's here. And she started to describe this lady and said she helped me with cooking. I didn't know my grandmother that well, so I couldn't really place the information. But that night, I started seeing these spirit lights in my room, and it kind of really shook up my world. I was like, am I going crazy? Am I having a breakdown? And I remember it was like a video recorder. Like I could see this video recorder dangling from my roof, and there's fairy images and a robot vacuum cleaner going in and out of my ceiling. So it's kind of like my friend's sister had opened the floodgates. I think I like 90% believe in the spirit world, but there's always an aspect of me that wants to question it.
That was your first experience, right? How did you handle all those unusual indicators?
Yeah, good question. So I think I immediately contacted the friend's sister, and she had some expertise here so she could guide me. I was a bit reluctant to go to a doctor or a psychologist because you can imagine what they may think about these things. They're kind of very shunned in our society, and it kind of have those mental health flags raise up. But yeah, she really encouraged me and supported me and taught me to be more confident in myself. And then I think I reached out to a spirit medium, something I'd never thought I'd ever do. And it just helped create stability emotional stability about this unique aspect of myself that was emerging.
Do you still see some facial sometimes, like unexpectedly? And are you gonna analyze them or try to understand what that facials are trying to tell you?
I do. It's normally around nighttime that I kind of see these lights and images, like I'm looking at you right now. And a lot of mediums say they see this stuff, but for a lot, it's in their mind. But sometimes, yeah, I was doing a healing for someone online, a friend in the Solomon Islands, and I just started to see this man kind of shimmering over her. And there's been a few instances where I've kind of seen people and have, you know, like a shimmering loving spirit over them. But yeah, often I do try to analyze these things because it's either a spirit or some aspect of myself coming out that needs to be acknowledged. And sometimes it could be a bit traumatic and a bit scary. People call evil entities coming out, which I don't think it was evil. It was just an emotion coming out and it'd like zip around the room. It was very scary. These mediums helped me manage this. And this is where I think there's could be a bit of overlap between spiritual perception and mental health psychosis perception. Like I think there's a real gray area there. I kind of feel the more we can support people to understand these experiences in a safe way, the deeper they can get inside of themselves to work out what needs to come out.
Is there any like tips that you would advise, especially with our audience, that we might not be very into spiritual aspects of things? Like, is there any techniques that you use that applies to someone who's interested in mental wellness and that they could use that to help them to feel more confident, to make them feel more stable emotionally?
I think the main one is trying to find stillness in your life and meditation. And this took me a very long time, just having that busy mind frame. And I think scheduling even 5-10 minutes a day, not everyone can just sit, meditate. It doesn't work. I think you need to find out what it is for you that works. And some people's busy mind, sometimes they need to go to like a busy landscape. And it might be like the seaside where the wind's rushing or the waves are lapping, and just really tuning into your senses. So tuning into those sounds, feeling vibrations from the wind. So I think the more you can focus on your sensory inputs, the easier it is to relax.
Gary, I wonder, like when you talked about that evil spirit, like in your space, the entire experience till now, like has it shaken your past belief, like what is right, what is wrong? And when you talk about going to traditional like psychologists, like talking therapy, has your view changed on that?
Yeah, I think having these extrasensory perceptions has really opened my mind to potential for a spirit world, but also that, you know, kind of Western society teaches us to be very visual and verbal. Your second question, yeah, psychologists. So I've seen psychologists and mental health practitioners as well. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my medium teachers, they kind of encourage that. Both the spiritual and the mainstream really have their own aspects where they shine.
I feel like definitely the psychiatrists in Hong Kong right now are still pretty close-minded. They only believe in certain aspects of mental health. That's why we did have a guest earlier on the unlabeling effect and saying that basically the whole psychiatric ward basically are based on risk assessment. So she got stripped down because she was assessed of having high risk of suicide or self-harm. And that's how they approach it. And if they saw symptoms, instead of interrogating or investigating what went wrong, they just gave medication to suppress it. We should definitely have different approaches to try to get into this. And I love that how you mentioned the convergence point between the mainstream science and also spirituality. And I think in academic world, they are trying to incorporate and to be more inclusive about knowledge. And they are trying to advocate to cite more scholars of color or try to dig up indigenous knowledge and incorporate that into mainstream knowledge. And we could actually see a lot of similarities between First Nations knowledge and definitely in spirituality. They have loads of long-standing belief and knowledge that actually makes sense. We just don't have the language to make us accept it, I guess, because of how the infrastructure works.
Yeah, totally agree with all that. I guess this is where the anthropology comes in. It shows us how our society's constructed in cultural patterns, kind of encouraging us to strip those back and look at different cultures with an open mind and respectful mind and see what we can learn from other cultures and value their perspectives. Mm. And I'll also add, there is a field of science called transcultural psychiatry. And this is where we've got psychiatrists, psychologists, spiritual practitioners coming together, trying to put those paradigm differences aside and just look at how do we really help people from both the science and the spiritual cultural perspectives. And that's really good to see.
Oh, that is very empowering. I really need to check that out. Like, by putting all these minds together, that's going to speak to a broader audience for sure and going to help more people regardless of their beliefs.
Gary, is there any interesting trends that you observed through all your healing process? For example, people who struggled with certain things, do they have a strong ego?
A few things. I think just the way we're brought up and all the challenges we have and the way society trains us, we tend to lose a sense of who we are, things we're really passionate about. So it's kind of taking the time to reassess our values and our beliefs and work through that. Yeah, decisions. People just get stuck in decisions, rely on their intuition, they get stressed, and it really holds them back. And this is why a lot of people go to mediums these days.
Yeah, I also want Gary to touch on a bit more on authenticity, because that's the word that we talk a lot about. I think it's how do you really be the person that you want to be and how you feel right now, like, you know, don't hide any emotions or any feelings that your body is telling you.
In childhood often, or even major trauma events, it kind of shocks our body into a certain way, and so we're no longer authentic and just trying to unravel that. And I'd always encourage people just to pause if they're having a difficult some conversation with someone and just say, you know, this doesn't feel right to me. Can you let me think about this and I'll get back to you? Rather than just kind of going along with what the more dominant person may have. Or even if you kind of don't show your true self in that moment, think about it overnight and then come back to that person and say, hey, hang on, I thought about this. It doesn't really work for me. It's not being true to me and true to you. So I'd prefer we do something different. So just giving yourself time to value who you are and your beliefs and sort through that.
I think there's another trend that I observed is that people, they want to know their life purposes so fast. And if they don't get those answers, they get frustrated and they will go down that slippery slope where, oh, what am I here for? Because I definitely experienced that, I think, in 2021. Like what you said, like the cultural setting, like the hustle culture, and oh, you need to kind of achieve something. Like, what do you want to achieve in your life? Maybe start your own business, or maybe do this. And there are so many things that I find very difficult to let go of. If millennial or Gen Z is going through the same thing, how would you suggest them to approach with spirituality?
I think this is where it comes down to that stillness and intuition, trying to really carve space away from your busy mindset where you can get in contact with the true you. A lot of people don't like to find stillness, but I've really learned that I can't think my way out of problems. And even with my research, I want to know the answer. It just doesn't come to me. And when I kind of sit and meditate, and that's when, you know, your intuition, insights come from. So yes, I always bring it back to the stillness, the meditation, and intuition.
There's this like app that I've used recently. It's called Insight Timer. I feel like it would be great to have Gary's like monochords plus meditation tracks on it. It's really good. It's just like, I don't know, it's a commonly used app in Australia, but I've only started using it for like 3 weeks, I think. I don't know. I just feel like that's something that it would be great to have Gary's work on, because I can listen to it. I usually use this like when I get ready in the morning. It's a good way for me to get stillness.
I think it's really good you found that tool. It's a mental health tool, and there's so many out there, and it's really just trying to find the right ones for you and looking holistically at life and what supports you. But yeah, I come back to it's this authentic self. How do you become more authentic? And my spirit teachers talk about my own challenges. The more that I kind of strengthen who I am and kind of live my path and my true purpose, the rest can melt away to a certain degree.
I really love how many times we have touched on the word authenticity. And that's why in the Unlabeling Effect, we do have a line that's dare to feel, dare to be real. It's like you have to discover yourself and stick to it and be your true self. Even the society tells you not to, or, you know, oppress you, suppress you in all sort of ways. So coming to an end, there are loads of societal pressure molding our way or our behaviors or even how we think. So is there a label or a social stigma that, Gary, you would like to destigmatize or unlabel the most?
You know, how we view people who might have mental health issues or disability issues or neurodiverse, or people who, you know, believe in spirits as well. You know, our culture, that which is constructed over time, says this is strange and people are different, sort of kind of conditioned to think like that. But in some ways, the people are so-called different, I think, have real gifts and abilities that we can learn from. So, yeah, it might be a bit confronting with someone who's a bit different to us, but I think we just need to treat people with respect and be curious about them and their lives.
I love that, Gary. If the audience would like to have a conversation with you or even participate in your healing session, where can they find you?
So I do have a website, garymoody.com.au. I've just started my Instagram account with the Spirit Art, and readers is the first one to go on there, and that's Gary J. Moody. And I have a Facebook page, Spirit Adventures with Gary, and that has some of my kind of some of the spirit healers I've kind of met over my journey. And I like to show people their beautiful talents in case they resonate with people to go to.
So thank you so much, Gary, for your time and bringing in all your experience and knowledge to create change and try to bring people together and have all beliefs respected and offer practices to people regardless of their beliefs.
And I'll just add one more thing. I always tell people just to be proud of who you are and what you've learned, even if you've had difficult situations. You know, you are perfect how you are. You're on a journey. You're always growing. So don't get too stressed about needing to develop this and resolve this. Always do it, but just know you're perfect as you are.
Oh, I love that. That's the perfect.
Makes me feel so good.
Yeah, I'm more confident now just because of what you said.
You should be.
Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.